Talk about how the Bible came together. We can talk about all of this. There are incredible videos that they have. But I wanted to give an overview of the Old Testament and the New Testament and how, what did that look like as the authors over 1,500 years began to write different people, different time periods, different positions in life. You have kings, you have prophets, you have shepherd boys that are writing, and they all tell a unified story that there was coming, there was sin, and there was some coming, someone named Jesus who would redeem us of our sin. And then that also that the Christ will come back again. Somebody say again. Now, if you're reading the Word of God, we're going to talk about 4 points this morning. And again, I could have went, like, we could have had sermon after sermon after sermon, just on what we heard right there. And we could be preaching, but this is all going to take place in the next couple of minutes. So here we go. If you're reading the Bible, and when you open the Word of God, we're going to take a four parts, and say this is what we're going to do together as a congregation. This is how we're going to read. And in your bulletins, if you have a bulletin, there is a paper. In the paper, it has the word soap. Somebody say soap. Now, soap is important, right? You take a bath with it. That's not this kind of soap. So the soap that we're going to be talking about is 4 parts, scripture, and then observation, application, and prayer. So when you open up the Word of God tomorrow and you read the Word, see how I say when you open it up? I'm believing that you will begin to open it up. So when you open up the Word of God tomorrow morning, and guys, this is faithful following of Jesus. There are going to be 4 parts to how we are going to read the Word. Is there other ways to do it? Absolutely. But I'm just choosing something that will help us to do this together. The first one, that letter S, and that way we could remember this acronym, is Scripture. Scripture. We're going to read the Scriptures. In Matthew chapter 12, he says this, "Have you not read?" And these were like the professional people he's talking to. He's talking to the Pharisees, and of course they had read. They had read letters. They had known what the way, the position of the letters. They had went over the words, and Jesus talks to them, and he says, again, in the second part of Matthew, he says, "Have you not read?" And then he writes at the end of Matthew chapter 12, he says, "If you had read, you would have known what this meaneth." Obviously, that's the old time King James Version. And I think this morning, God is saying, "Have you not read?" See, we have to read the Word of God. No one eats only on Sunday morning, correct? Y'all look healthy up in here. So no one is just coming to the church and saying, "Well, I'm just eating on Sunday mornings." We eat every single day. Most of us eat 2 and 3 times a day, amen? And we're Cajun, so we eat a whole lot of yummy and good food. You can't go from Brother Freddie on January and wait. Well, I can't wait for Brother Freddie to come back next January. Y'all, that's 1 year from now. The Word of God is open for you right now. Open up the Word of God. Has a word for you. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose. And the first thing that you have to do is read it. Somebody say read it. Guys, there's on the app right now, you can actually have it read to you on the Bible app. It can read it to you. I go to the gym. I know it doesn't look like it, but on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, I go to the gym and I sit on an elliptical for 20 minutes and all I do is I don't know what they're doing in the gym. Some lady came and corrected my form the other day and I was like, "Boo, I'm just listening to the Bible." I don't know. You came to the gym to work out. I came to get to the Word of God. And so I'm just having the Word of God soak in me and hear, what is it saying? Why? Because it's life to me. It's the breath of God over our lives. And you just have to read it. You have to open up the book. You have to take open the scriptures. On your paper, it says, take today's Bible reading plan, pray over it, and then read through it. So today, this is a Sunday, and so I went into Sunday's Bible reading plan, what we're supposed to be reading today collectively as a church. And again, I know you have your own plans, and that's amazing, but if you don't, join in with us. So today's psalm is from Psalm 18, 25 through 36. So we're going to do this. We're going to do the four parts, and we're going to do it together. So if I say together, this is a group exercise. I'm a teacher. So Psalms 18, 25 through 36, and actually what the first part of this is just reading that scripture. So everybody turn in their Bibles, whether you're on an app and whatever, and I'm going to ask, we'll just pick on Pastor Ted, and he's going to, can you just stand up? We're all going to, y'all all look at Psalms chapter, what did I say, 18? 18, and look at it together, and he's just going to read it out loud.
25 to 36. These words are small. No, I'm not getting old. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. And by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. 36, okay. For who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my ways blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. You gave me a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip.
All right, scripture, read it. Even if you didn't understand it, just go ahead and read it. Can I just say that? Like, if you didn't get all of it, it's okay. If you didn't get it, I'll read it again. Sometimes I'll do that. I'll just say, okay, if I was distracted. So I need you to stay in Psalms. We're going to do the SOAP method over the entirety of the birth. But right now, we've done part one. We've just read it. We've just read it. Maybe you highlighted. Maybe you took out a note. Now, the second part of this SOAP method is to observe. Okay, so we're going to do this, and then you're going to shout some things back at me. We are going to observe what was in the scriptures. What is it that stuck out to you? What is it that was like, wow, that's different, or maybe that's happening in your life? There's some observations that need to happen, and we do this all the time. And I want to underneath observations, and again, a lot more things that I could say, but I want to say three things. You have to read it in context, okay? So today we just sort of like, because we've been reading through the Psalms, and we're already read Psalm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and now we're in February, and that's where we are. That's why I pulled out this Psalm. But generally, you want to read in context. When you get an email from a friend, do you read the last sentence first? No. What do? You start at the front and you read all the way to the end because you want to read in context. You can't just take scripture and say, well, I really like Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts and the plans that you have for me, declares the Lord, hallelujah and amen. And you walk on your business because you got to know who was Jeremiah talking to, why was he talking, and why did he say that? And you might be surprised of the context that is around those scriptures. Because sometimes we want a feel-good feeling, right? I love feel-good feelings. I love the scriptures that they put on a postcard, that they put on a greeting mail. I love those scriptures, but they're there for a reason because that's, oh, it feels good. But that's not necessarily the context of what is happening in that passage or in that book or in the totality of the entire Bible. Number two, when you observe, think about history. About the history. Who wrote this book? Who wrote the psalm? Why did he write the psalm? Why, for example, about 18 years ago, there was a news article that 54,000 U.S. military troops deployed to Louisiana and Mississippi. And you would think, is that a war? But then, you know, history. What happened 18 years ago? Hurricane Katrina. And then National Guard came down. So we know that. So we don't have to understand that because we experienced that. So we know what's happened in our history. The problem is that I am not, it's not like they taught us Bible history in school. We didn't have Bible history 101, 102. I had American history. I had Louisiana history. But y'all, the history of the Word of God, we have to get some understanding. And sometimes, I mean, just being honest, I could be a Google search away. Who wrote this book? Who wrote the psalm? Who wrote Psalm 18? We have the tools to get into the Word of God. So you want to read in context. You want to read in the history, like what's happening 2,000 years ago, what happened 4,000 years ago. And you also want to read in the genre. Somebody say genre. Oh, but y'all, this is big. If I said to you, the Cowboys shoot down the Eagles, what would you say? That is obviously all football. Cowboys, the Cowboys. And so, like, I don't know. That's my daughter, too. She would have no clue. But for most of us in the room, if we said the Cowboy, there wasn't a cowboy that went go shoot down an eagle. We understand that that is poetic in its genre. We know that that is sports literature for all the sporties in the room. And so we know that. But sometimes when we read the Word of God, we're like, well, we just think Proverbs is all promises. And Proverbs isn't promises. It's wisdom. It's wisdom that we can have. And so like, well, I'm just saying, no, you got to understand the genre. Is it a history book? Is it a law book like Leviticus, where they're the laws, the commandments? Is it poetry like Psalms or Proverbs or Ecclesiastes? Is it prophecy? Is it a prophetic book like Revelation or the end of Daniel or Ezekiel? If you just go and open your book of the Bible and you start reading Ezekiel, all the men that are studying Ezekiel on Wednesday night, that's a little bit confusing, correct? And so you have to understand that Ezekiel was having prophetic visions of end time happenings, and that it wasn't, some of it was for that time, and you have to understand that some of it was for the time of Christ, and some of it was for the time of Jesus coming back. Those are things we have to understand when we open up this book. So when you look at Psalms, everybody go back to Psalms 18, verse 25 through 36. I'm going to just have some people, and this is not we've done no rehearsal. It's just us reading the Word of God together. Psalms. David writes, it's poetic. We're thinking about the genre. We're thinking about the context. So if you wanted to read, typically, just he would have wrote these as poems. So you could have just read the entirety of the chapter. Would probably be a better context. Sometimes if you have a study Bible, it'll tell you when it was written or like in what circumstance. Was he running from Saul? Was he in time of joyous? Was he dedicating the temple? In my particular Bible, this one has nothing. So it doesn't tell me anything. Maybe somebody else's does. But what did you observe? What is God showing you right now in this passage of Psalm 18, verse 25 through 36? What word or event stands out to you? Are there any truths, any warnings, or any commands? What is the overall message that God is showing me personally through the scripture? Now, here's the thing. We all have history, genre. It means what it means, but the Holy Spirit right now in the room will teach us differently because we're all in different spaces of our lives. We're all going through different things, and that doesn't make it wrong. It means it makes it living. The Bible is living. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. So what it speaks to me may not be the same that it speaks to you, and there is nothing wrong with that because unless it's inaccurate in our translation, in the way that we're thinking through it, but most of us in the room will have some different thoughts. I'm going to take just a moment. It'll be a little bit awkward, but would somebody in the room say, this is what, as I'm reading through Psalm, this is what I observed? You would be bold and courageous and say, this is what I observed. All right, Mr. McKinley.
How to be merciful. If you read the first of Psalms 25, it's telling how to be merciful. Okay. So how could we obtain mercy if we don't be merciful to someone else and forgive them of their sins and their trespassing? Okay. Just like our Heavenly Father forgive us. So we got to learn to have more compassion in our heart with our brothers and sisters, to be merciful when they do something to us. we just got to say, well, okay, then God, that you're showing me something that I need to learn myself and have that forgiveness in our heart.
And notice how he took some of the scriptures that he already knew, and then he applied it to what he had read this morning. That's why we have to be in the Word of God. So for Mr. McKinley, and maybe you're going through something with that, I don't know, I'm not going to get in your business, I'm not the Holy Spirit, but maybe he is. And the Lord has showed him, okay, I've got to take that scripture in that context and apply it to my personal life. Somebody else, by raising your hands, just a hallelujah, shout out. Just, there we go. Okay, here we go. I'm coming. This is why I want to get you on the mic so everybody can hear you. Yeah.
He is my strength and my shield. He makes me strong and fearless.
Okay.
That's what I get out of it the most.
So just an encouragement. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with an encouraging word. He is my strength and my Yes, and can you see her face? I don't know if you can see her face, but she's so excited when she's saying it. Like, he's my... It reminds you, right? It reminds you of who God is.
Person, and yeah. I have to read over and over that he is my strength and my shield. Yes.
Right. And yeah, she's like beaming. She's, yeah. Yeah. And it's just an encouragement, right? Just like an encouraging that the Word of God is her strength. It's her shield. One more person. What did you observe whenever you saw it? Whenever you saw the thing? Okay. I'm coming back to Mr. Carlton on the other side of the room. It's okay. I mean, I work out, so it's good. Okay. Here we go.
Like verse 36, when it says, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet not slip." And for me, reading that gives me the understanding that God keeps me from falling. God enlarges my steps under me, meaning he's the foundation of wherever I'm at and whoever I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you notice three different people, three different things they observed, but they were all correct, right? Like, they were a timely word. When you read the Word of God, it will be a timely word. When you open up the scriptures, God, I pray over that you would speak to me, that you would change me, that you would order my steps, that you would keep me from falling, that you would keep me encouraged, right? The Word of God will be an encouragement to your soul. So when you observe, and you can write it down, that way you remember if you have a bad memory. So we open up the scriptures, we observe the scriptures, and then now we apply. Somebody say apply. Whew, this is the hard one. Because we can go to the Word of God and we can observe something. It's like going to a mirror and forgetting what you look like. But that's not the Word of God. The Word of God will say there are some things there that you need to apply to yourself so that you can be more like Him. So when I read the Word of God, it is sometimes to be comforted, sometimes to be corrected. But the ultimate goal when I read the Bible is that I will be more like Jesus, that my thoughts will be more like His. And when we apply the Word of God to our lives, we need to meditate. Somebody say meditate. Now, this is not, you know what I'm talking about, these people. Psalm chapter 1, David writes, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law, the Word of God, he meditates." Somebody say meditates. "Day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields for its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither." What does it mean to meditate? That we have this art. We have this idea that we are to think on and partake of the sweet truth which has been brought to us by what you've read this morning in the Word of God. We must apply what we have read to our lives. Think of olives. Olives. And then this sounds weird. This is my example for this morning. Olives in and of themselves from a tree are no good. But they take those olives from a tree, and what do? In order for you to get olive oil, they begin to press it. They press it. They begin to they allow them to sort of take it in under a wheel, and they press it again and again and again. And eventually, what happens? The oil flows from the olive, so that you have olive oil. The only way that you get that is by pressing. And the only time that sometimes the word of God, you can sit there for 15 minutes, but here's the thought that I want you to have is that you would apply that once you read it. Let's say you read your word of God at 6 in the morning. Well, then something happens to you at 10. What do? You meditate on what you read. But I remember what I read this morning, that God will comfort me, that I am a strong, that he will be my strength. I remember that he will keep my feet from falling, because you might be getting ready to fall at 10 a.m. But what do? You meditate on the word of God. You think on the word of God. And instead of thinking about whatever thing that we think about, we have to train our thoughts to meditate on the word of God. And this is how they would read scriptures. They would go together and think on them. And what is this passage saying? And what is it speaking to my life? What is it speaking to the life of our church? And they would read those letters that the apostles, specifically Paul, they would write, and it would be a letter to the Corinthian church, and they would read the scriptures, and then they would just think on them. They would saturate themselves in them. Guys, we have to be people that our thoughts, when we are mindless or our thoughts are crazy, going in a million different directions, we have to pull it back in and say, no, I'm going to meditate on the word of God. I am going to apply the word of God to my life. We must understand scriptures. Now go back to Psalm 18, 25 through 36. Application. Now it's time to get personal. How does this affect your life? Does God have an instruction for you? Does God have an encouragement for you? Or does God have a correction for you? Just a couple of people in the room, and then we'll be finished. What can you take out of the room this morning from reading Psalms? What can you apply to your personal life? Somebody would raise their hand at me and say, okay, that's me. All right. How can you apply this to your life?
In verse 28, for it is you who light my lamp, the Lord my God lightens my darkness. And we actually read this morning the verse of the day on YouVersion was that you are the light of the world, a city on a hill, and talked about how, like, what does that look like in our lives? And for us, it's like loving people that are difficult or remembering that we are a light. And the scripture here says, for it is you who light my lamp, the Lord my God lightens my darkness, that it's not my striving or my own ability. It's just making space for God, meditating on the word when we're in times where we feel tempted to not be loving or not be a light, to remember that it's not my effort that creates the light. It's God putting his light in me, and my job is just to surrender to his light and allow him to light up the relationships or whatever situation he's called me in, to remember that I'm like a vessel and a tool that he wants to use to shine his light.
So, just a specific, we've heard the word, we observe, but observation is different than application. Application becomes personal. Somebody else in the room, how would you like to apply this word that you read this morning to, and I mean, this is a little bit personal because, anybody, just raise your hand really quickly. Somebody, how would you apply this word to your life? Anybody? I'll start calling people. I'm joking. I'm sort of joking. How would you apply this word? Yeah. I'm coming over here to you, Shauna. Okay. No shame. Here we go.
I take the verse with merciful. I've been hurt by people and stuff, and God always forgives me, so why can't I forget them?
Okay. So. You see that? There's a work happening. Not when Freddie Fry preaches, not when she came to church. I mean, she's at church Sunday morning. But as she was reading the word, God began to do a work in her life. See, this is, we have to eat for ourselves. We have to feed on the word of God for ourselves. We have to, and you be encouraged by a retreat. You be encouraged on Sunday morning. Show up, because God says to show up, because we're iron sharpening iron. But at the same time, guys, this is what happens when we begin to read the word of God. So we take out the scripture, that's our S. O is observation. A, application. And the last thing we do is pray. Somebody say pray. Can we just play some music, Chris, on the back end? And that's what we'll do to close out this service. It's not complicated. The service wasn't complicated. This time wasn't complicated. I always speak to our young people, we make it so we got to do all this stuff and we got to perform all these. No, you don't. Just open the word, observe what you read, apply it to your life, and then pray. I love what Charles Spurgeon, I read a whole sermon of prayer, about the word, and he's just so amazing. He says, "Beloved, I would remind you at this end that we would be compelled to pray. It's a grand thing to think that the God who created the word in the Bible is here for us. And if you read the word this morning, which we just did, he said, you must cry out to God for direction. Who understands the book best? The author. So who's the author of the Bible? I mean, I know there were manly authors, but who's the ultimate author of the Bible? Him. So whenever you read the word, it's like just saying, okay, God, I've read it. I've taken out scripture. I've observed it. I've applied it. And now I'm just praying that you would do it. God, or maybe if you'd had something you didn't quite understand, God, would you help me understand? There's nothing wrong with going to the author of the book and say, help me to understand it. I am still there. There's some parts of scripture that I'm like, I don't get it. I'm not fully in line. I don't think that we ever will, right, on this side of heaven. That's okay, because that would make us God and we're not. And so we just come to him and say, okay, God, I'm praying over the word. So can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? Here's what it says: prayer, two-way conversation with God. Pray over what God has shown you and ask him to reveal even more to you. So can we do that this morning? And then we'll just be dismissed with the plan that you will do this tomorrow morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and Thursday morning and Friday morning, that we will be students and lovers of the word of God. God, we pray over Psalms. God, thank you for all the things that you have revealed throughout the room. As we've just sat down for a couple of minutes, we've taken out the scripture, we've observed, we've applied, we've meditated on, and now we're just praying, God, that that word that we read this morning, when we walk out the door today, that we will apply it to our lives. God, we are asking that we will begin to meditate on the word of God, that we will think on your word more than we think about whatever it is and whatever cultural thing that is happening or things that are happening in our little sphere of influence. Instead, God, our thoughts and our minds will immediately turn to the word of God. God, I pray for this church specifically at Hope Community that you have designed and put together. Lord God, I pray that we would be students of the word of God. I pray that the people in this room, God, that we wouldn't just follow Jesus for a year or 6 months, but God, this is till the end. God, this is until our dying breath. God, in honor of Miss Shirley, who sits in heaven with you this morning, Lord, worshiping, God, we want to be like her, Lord, just saying, help me to read through, be consistent in the word of God, opening up the scriptures, God, meditating, applying, observing, and praying. And so this morning, God, I pray that that habit will be established in our lives, that we'll talk about it, that we will be encouraging others. What is God showing you? What does that look like in your life? God, I pray that we would be people that the truth of God doesn't change. Help us to set our eyes and our focus on that, God, that on the truth of God's word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. We love you guys. Go and read the word. In Jesus' name, we'll see you Wednesday. Be safe and love Jesus. And we can't wait to do life with you this Wednesday at 6:30. And of course, next Sunday, we're learning another healthy habit. In Jesus' name.